Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on a Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you, a loaded show today. Phil Steele, Gary Barnett, Jerry DiNardo. But we start off with new athletic director at Nebraska, Bill Moose, with this. Bill, thanks for a few minutes today, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Getting settled in okay? Getting comfortable with the move to Lincoln?
Oh, yeah. Hit the ground running, but that's the way I wanted it. And really enjoying things and getting to know people in Lincoln. They've been outstanding.
Bill Moose with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Well, Bill, wanted to start off with your approach, and your resume speaks for itself. But when it comes to evaluation of programs, football, basketball, pick a sport, tell me a little bit about your approach and what type of signs you're looking for direction-wise for programs that kind of fit your vision.
Well, I typically take some time to observe and assess all the programs and really all the various departments within the athletic department, and we're in the process of doing that right now. At first brush, really appears that we have wonderful people, very dedicated people that really like being here and enjoy Lincoln and, of course, the University of Nebraska. But we're just getting started with that, and of course a lot of media time, which I wanted as well. So I need to really take a real good look and have a chance to sit down with all these folks, and that's all on the schedule here in the next couple of weeks.
Bill Moose with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Think back to when you started your football career, and what was it about the sport that made you fall in love with it?
Oh gosh, you know, I grew up on a wheat and cattle ranch,
yep.
And a very, very small school. And my parents were graduates of Washington State, and they would take my sister and me to homecoming from the time I was about 7 or 8 years old. And when I saw that pageantry and all the excitement and the passion of the fans, and then of course the gridiron heroes coming onto the field, I started that dream way back then, and fortunately had a chance to live it myself. And I've always used that as somewhat of a foundation for my career in athletic administration, that I actually went through the recruiting process, actually played the game, and was a part of a team that was pretty successful, and all the lessons I learned along the way from coaches and the great friendships and relationships with my teammates, it was very special and continues to be today.
What are a couple of lessons you remember from coaches?
Oh, I was pretty heavily recruited, and I thought I was pretty good. And I got to college and found out I wasn't as good as I thought I was. And it took a while to set that bar and to reach it. But I learned from them, and a couple of them in particular that I hold very dear, how far I could go and just how far I could push myself, and what hard work and discipline could do, and having a focus and a plan for my life, and really so many things that I decided at that time I really would like to someday be in their place, or even better, in as an athletic director, to put those lessons in place with young people as they grow through and get started in their professional life.
Bill Moose, a few minutes with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. What sold you on Nebraska, Bill, and what sold Nebraska on you? How did both mesh to become what you have now?
Well, Nebraska is a storied program. When I grew up, as a young boy all the way through college and after, on Thanksgiving weekends, you watch the Nebraska-Oklahoma game. I can remember watching those games in a drafty old farmhouse on a black and white TV in the parlor. And so later in my career, I became friends with former Nebraska players that spoke volumes about then Coach Devaney and later Coach Osborne and what a special place it was. And then as I got into the profession, all my colleagues knew which were the real, real top programs in the country, and there's about 10 of them, mm-hmm. and Nebraska is one, and that's how I've always looked at it. And as you know, I was at my alma mater at Washington State. We rebuilt that program over the period of 7 years, and felt very good about that, very proud of what we accomplished. But I told my wife, and she agreed, that if one of these three or four that I had on my list ever opened, I wanted to take a run at them if it felt right, and Nebraska was at the top of that list, and it felt right.
Bill Noose with us on Hail Varsity. You mentioned lists, Coach, of coaches and places to be. And I wanted to ask you about that that list that AD's keep in their drawer, specifically the list that had Mike Leach's name on it and maybe some other coaches on it. Do you have a recollection of some of the other names on that list that was with Leach?
Yeah, but I will say that Mike Leach was the top person on that list at the time, because I really felt that he would fit our program. But some of the other ones, I don't know if it would be just to say them, but
sure.
They have fabulous, fabulous careers going on right now. But I just felt that Mike, with his style, his national personality, his air raid offense, the fact that he was a small town guy, was born and raised in Cody, Wyoming, and of course he had 10 years in Lubbock, Texas, that he would be a good fit in Pullman, and that his offense could entertain our fans while we were building the program, which had a lot of work to do. So it worked out.
Bill Moose is with us. Bill, what are some traits that, or some things, some ingredients is a better word, that take a program from that 7-9 win window and all of a sudden it pops to 10 and beyond? Because you've seen that happen at Oregon when you were there, and Coach Leach has things going well for Washington State right now, and it's looking like that. Nothing's guaranteed, obviously, but how does a program make that jump to kind of that next tier?
Well, it was a little bit different challenge at both of those locations, because we had to change the culture of the fan base. We needed to rebrand. We needed to form an identity. Of course, build facilities, I said, and just really start from scratch. At the University of Nebraska, a lot of those things are already in place. A great brand, a nationally recognized brand, superb facilities, all the resources anyone could ask for. I think one of the real bonuses and what was attractive to me was the leadership in Chancellor Green and President Bounds. And of course, maybe first on the list, I should have really focused on this passionate fan base, because it's known throughout this industry, and not just in football, but you look at that volleyball program and others. I was at soccer last night. That was so impressive. This is a fabulous place. It's a great, great town. I'm eager to go get up to Omaha and get to know those folks, and really all the smaller towns around the entire state, which I think I can really relate to. We're going to put that on our schedule as well. It's just, for me, a really, really good fit, and especially at this time in my career.
You've had a chance to see Coach Cook. What impresses you about the culture he has with the volleyball team?
Just look at his record. Walk into that into that building and look at the banners of the All-Americans and the national championships and the conference championships, and he's tough and he's dedicated, and I like that, and it works. And I got a chance to talk to his team the other day. He asked me to. We were taking a facility tour, and I told them that they were my poster child for Husker athletics because they got there, they've stayed there, they've built a culture and a tradition where the incoming players want to make sure they don't let the next generation down, and it's something that really feeds on itself if you can sustain it.
What's your impression right now of the Big Ten from a football standpoint, just where Nebraska is at right now and then where they need to go? I mean, just the league difficulty navigating that, how difficult is it?
Well, I've always been impressed with the Big Ten, and for a couple of reasons. One is that it's got a very, very very high regard in the higher education for the quality of universities that make up the Big Ten, all 14 of them, and so we're with good company, and they are with us, and that's really was very important. Secondly, Jim Delaney is an outstanding commissioner. I've known Jim. I had a real nice visit with him on Monday. He called me my first day on the job, and I'm really looking forward to working with him. You can talk about all the sports, mm-hmm. but football, it's again, it's a traditional powerhouse in football, and you know the stories about Michigan and Ohio State. Penn State is back with a miraculous job James Franklin has done there, you know, digging out of the ashes of all of their problems from a few years back. And there's others. There's Iowa. There's Michigan State. And with scholarship limitations and with the equal television distribution, you see a lot of parity anymore. But what Nebraska needs to do is be Nebraska. We've been mentioned in the same breath as those top teams that I talked about just a moment ago, and others, including Alabama and Texas and USC and Florida, et cetera. And it's going to be my job to see that is restored and that we are back in our rightful place.
Bill Moose with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Bill, you've been so gracious with your time. Wanted to get you out of here on this, and thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us. Is there a specific Mike Leach adventure you can share with us? Coach Leach is a dear friend of the show, and we love talking with him, and he's always just a treat to just chat with, right? But you hired the man. What's one time with him that sticks out? Did you ever get to go fishing with him? Let me start there.
No, he like I said, he's a perfect fit at Washington State, but when I went to interview him kind of under the radar back in 2011, and I had everything set up there at a hotel suite in Key West, and he comes in, and I had all of my vision and all the branding and the renderings of facilities that were yet to have been built and all of that, and we were together for 4 hours, and I really think we may have gotten 20 minutes of football discussed. And we were on Winston Churchill and George S. Patton and George Armstrong Custer, Geronimo. Sitting Bowl came into it, and then we got into missing school because of snow days in Cody, Wyoming, and it went on. I thought to myself that first of all, this is a very brilliant individual who I think would fit well, and a lot of it has to do with the fit. But I did call Mike about 4 or 5 weeks ago, right around midnight, I needed a quick answer on something, and finally got off the phone at 4:30 in the morning, and I wasn't doing much of the talking.
That sounds about right. Bill Booth's with us. Bill, we'll catch up again. Welcome to Nebraska. Thanks for your time today with us here on Hail Varsity.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Take care. Bill Moose with us, Nebraska Athletic Director at Hail Varsity Radio. He shared his thoughts on football evaluation, culture, and you have a great culture in volleyball, that jump that can and you want to happen as a Nebraska fan from the 7-9 window to conference championships. We needed another half hour, and he was already great to give us 15 minutes. Thanks to Keith Mann and the Nebraska Sports Information folks. We appreciate you lining that up. We are just getting kicked off on Thursday. Phil Steele is coming up next hour. Gary Barnett and Jerry DiNardo when we come back, as Hail Varsity is with you on a Thursday. You can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776-800, 825-5865. You want to respond? We'll dive into some of Joel Klatt's comments on Nebraska and Tennessee and a man down at Central Florida. We will get into a great story on HailVarsity.com with Nebraska and their offense. The offense. And how they have tried to navigate through games being down. We'll get caught up. Jerry DiNardo on the way. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in with ESPN, the legendary Phil Steele, college football insider. Phil, great to have you back on. What a week in college football. How are you?
I am doing great, Chris. How about yourself?
Doing outstanding. I want to start off with the game that folks are not feeling great about in Nebraska. That's Purdue. I didn't think I'd ever utter those words, but Purdue is favored by 5.5. Nebraska through the ringer the last two ball games and coming off a bye week. Let's start off with Nebraska-Purdue. Phil, what's your take on Saturday night?
I actually like Nebraska in this game, Chris, for a couple of reasons. As you pointed out, Nebraska's been an average over the last 4 years, a 17-point favorite against Purdue. And they just faced Wisconsin and Ohio State the last 2 weeks. I got to tell you, about 90% of the teams in the country will be coming off two losses against Wisconsin and Ohio State. And you go back to that Wisconsin game as an example. That thing was 17-17 late third quarter. And one of Wisconsin's touchdowns was on a 78-yard interception return off the running back's helmet. So I thought they played a good game against Wisconsin, just got worn down, and then maybe playing a physical Wisconsin followed by a physical Ohio State cost them. I did not foresee Ohio State scoring touchdowns on their first eight possessions last week. But overall, I mean, you go back to the Oregon loss at the start of the year where they needed the big comeback, but still that was a potent Oregon team at that point with their quarterback. And the Northern Illinois game was when Nebraska had 171-yard edge in, but lost via the turnover, two interception returns for touchdowns. And Tanner Lee has stopped throwing the turnovers. That's huge. In the last three games, 60% completions with a 6-1 ratio. So I actually could see some positives for Nebraska. The defense, with the exception of the Ohio State game, had been showing improvement. Tanner Lee's cut down on the interceptions. And while I like Purdue, I think they're a quality team this year. You go back to the Minnesota game, which they won by two touchdowns. Minnesota's deep in their territory, down 7. Interception return for a touchdown. That's a misleading final. The Wisconsin game was misleading. They got outgained 494-221. In fact, they only lost by 8 to Wisconsin, but were outgained by 273 yards. Nebraska lost by 21 to Wisconsin, but was only outgained by 85 yards. And then last week, they lost to Rutgers despite having the yardage edge. I think Purdue's a much improved team, but I don't know if they're improved enough to be a favorite over Nebraska. I like the Huskers to pull the upset this week. And who would have thought that we'd be saying that this time of the season, Chris?
No, absolutely. Phil Steele's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Phil Steele 042 on Twitter. Find him and follow him, philsteele.com, college football insider with ESPN. Another thought here on Nebraska, some of the things you can't measure, and that's where the team's at mentally. If you're Nebraska coming off the Ohio State embarrassment, you've had a bye to try and get right. You look like you're moving in the right direction in some tight ball games if you're Purdue, and then you lose to Rutgers. Phil, how do you go in and kind of figure the emotional side of things? You can touch on the numbers, the turnovers, and how things have shaken out. But when it comes to the pulse you have around college football, the emotion is so important, isn't it?
It is. And I think coming off a bye is huge. And we've seen a lot of teams recently coming off of byes and pulling out big victories. So I think Nebraska, provided the players are still listening to Mike Riley, should be able to buy in on the fact that, hey, let's look at the rest of the schedule this year. I could see four winnable games there. Excuse me, Chris. I don't see the Penn State game on the road as winnable, but this is still a team that could hit 7-5 on the season during the regular season, still make it to a decent bowl game, and it all starts this week with Purdue. But coming off a bye, with the fact that your two losses were to Wisconsin and Ohio State, I could get my team to fired up for the game, provided the players are still listening. And with Purdue, like I said, it's one of those seasons where they have played well beyond expectations. You go back to the beating Ohio like they did, Missouri like they did in back-to-back weeks. They played even with Michigan for the first half of that game. In fact, led 10-7. Then a couple of misleading finals. I think it's starting to wear off a little bit. And I think it's a good spot for Nebraska to catch them in, especially with Purdue thinking, well, we're better than Nebraska and we should be able to beat them. And it's always better to be in the underdog role in a game like that.
Absolutely. Phil Steele with us. A few minutes here, Hail Varsity Radio. Phil, let's talk Ohio State, Penn State, and a huge game for JT Barrett and a big game for Penn State that really kind of started this run. They've been good, they've been talented, but they went next level a year ago when they beat Penn State, when they beat Ohio State, able to come from behind to do so with special teams play. They've been a different program since that moment. How are you seeing this one shake down?
Yeah, very impressed with Penn State so far this year. Second best team in the country, the way they're playing. And how about that Michigan smackdown last week? That was a game where that's Michigan's defense, and Penn State put up 42 points, 506 yards, and the game wasn't even really competitive. So you got to like the way that Penn State comes into this. But I like Ohio State in this one. I'll tell you why. You take a look at the two teams. They've played basically an equal schedule. But Ohio State's outgaining their foes by 272 yards per game. Penn State by just 180, so not as dominant. I think that Ohio State defensive line against the Penn State offensive line is going to be a bit of a mismatch and disrupt that offense. And when you take a look at Penn State's defense, they're actually leading the nation in points allowed per game. They're only giving up 10 points per game this year. But look at who they've played. The seven teams they faced, there is not a single top 50 offense in there. And as Nebraska learned last week, there's a difference between most offenses and this Ohio State offense. This is an Ohio State offense that, go back to the Oklahoma game, they were not this Ohio State offense. They were in the second game of Kevin Wilson. It's a lot more confident offense right now. JT Barrett, 21 touchdowns, one interception on the year. J.K. Dobbins running for 7.8 yards per carry, so much so that last year's 1,000-yard rusher Mike Weber's just a backup, and the receiving core is improving, the offensive line getting better. And then the situation, you got to love it. Penn State played their A-plus game last week to get revenge on a Michigan team that just thrashed them last year. Now they've got to go on the road and face an Ohio State team that last week was thinking Penn State. They had a bye. They were working on Penn State last week. They're working on this week. They're playing with revenge. I think you got the better team at home in a great situation. I like Ohio State to win this one by more than a touchdown. I know a lot of folks expecting a very close game. I think Ohio State will win by over a touchdown.
Urban Meyer gets his team ready in big-time games and big games in conference. Phil Steele with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Phil Steele 042, philsteele.com, College Football Insider, ESPN Insider joining us. You're talking the weekend of college football on Hail Varsity Radio. Let's talk Clemson for a second, Phil. Georgia Tech has been incredible this year, but man, they've just missed closing out. And I'm thinking the Tennessee game, I'm thinking the end of the Miami game. Clemson still wounded from the Syracuse loss. I don't see them getting upset twice in one season. Am I right about that hunch?
I think you are. And to me, this is my matchup game of the week. You look at Georgia Tech, and you correctly pointed out, Chris, I mean, they had no business losing to Tennessee. They dominated that game. They outgained Tennessee by 286 yards, suffered a very tough loss. And then the Miami of Florida game, another late score did them in, or else this team would be 6-0 right now. Their offense is putting down 373 yards per game, rushing 5.8 yards per carry. And, you know, it should be a very good game for Georgia Tech, except Clemson knows how to defend the option. Let me explain to you how. In the last 2 years, they've had just 3 and 4 starters returning on defense. And they held Georgia Tech's rush attack. Now, this is a Georgia Tech rush attack that always averages like 300 yards. They held them to 71 yards rushing in 2015, 1.7 yards per carry. That was with 3 returning starters early in the year. Well, last year they only had 4 returning starters. They played them early in the year again, same results, 95 yards rushing. 2.5 yards per carry. In fact, just 124 total yards, and that was at Georgia Tech. Now Clemson's got a veteran defense, 7 starters back, off a loss, with a bye to prepare for the option. I think they will shut down this potent Georgia Tech offense. And on the flip side of the coin, as long as Kelly Bryant's got a little bit of mobility, at least a half, or he says he's 85%, give me 85% of Kelly Bryant mobility, Clemson will be able to score. I like Clemson to win this one by more than 2 touchdowns, and the key to me is going to be that Clemson defense shutting down that potent Georgia Tech offense.
Phil Steele with us, and he says Clemson to rebound and then some. That line's minus 14. NC State, how about the old Wolfpack, Phil? And you got Notre Dame. What an impressive statement by Notre Dame. What a job by Notre Dame in their power run game. NC State's great against the run. Is this Notre Dame team and Coach Kelly keep on keeping on, or do we shake up the Wolfpack here?
Well, this is a national title elimination game because you look at NC State, if they win this, they get Clemson at home next week. They could be on their way to a 1-loss season ACC champ, and that would put them in the playoffs. A loss here would eliminate them. And the same thing with Notre Dame. They've got 1 loss already. As much as they are a title contender right now, a loss here would eliminate them. Now, Notre Dame's run offense has been almost unstoppable this year. 318 yards per game, 7.1 yards per carry. But they have been slowed down by 2 rush defenses. Georgia, which held them to 55, and Michigan State to 182. And NC State's got my number 3 D-line in the country, holding opponents to 91 yards per game rush and 3.0 yards per carry. I think they slow down the Notre Dame offense. NC State's got a balanced offense with Finley and Hines. I think this is a ball game. I've got Notre Dame winning it by about a touchdown, but an upset win surprised me in national title elimination game. Winner moves on. Loser is done.
Phil, about a minute here. Upset alert for Michigan State. Northwestern beat their rival last week. They get Sparty at home.
Love the Northwestern run defense. You know, they held Penn State in 95 yards rushing. They held Wisconsin to 109. This is one of the better run defenses in the country. Michigan State needs to run the ball to be successful. They won't be able to run it here. And Michigan State off a bit of a misleading final at the end of the game last week. Indiana let them score a touchdown to keep their hopes of winning alive and turn a 1-point game into an 8-point game. I like Northwestern, and if you call an upset, what the heck, we'll do that. Call for the upset, although I think Northwestern actually should be favored.
Last thought here, Phil. If you had to pick 4 teams that are in Phil's playoff right now, who are they?
Right now, before these games are played this week, I'd have Penn State up there, TCU, Georgia, and Alabama. But that's all going to change by the end of the year, Chris.
Thought on TCU. I left TCU, Iowa State. That'll be huge in Ames.
It is a big game. I do think the Frogs win. And, yeah, I'm going to go with TCU in that one over Iowa State.
Phil, take care. Appreciate your time.
As always, Chris, it was great talking to you today.
You know, college football insider there, Phil Steele. Thanks to him for a few minutes. Bill Moose got us kicked off on a Thursday with Hail Varsity Radio. Sauter Heyman, Rick and his friends at Sauter Heyman, offering 0% interest financing through 2020. Check out the extensive collection of both Earth Mind and Pure Grown Diamonds and 1-carat diamonds available for $99 down, $99 a month. There's no reason you can't please your sweetheart. Get her exactly what she wants. $99 down, $99 a month for 1-carat diamond. 0% interest financing through 2020. Go see Rick. It's Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown, Lincoln South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Rod West, with our friends in Grand Island. Log on SauterHeyman.com. Well, you've heard the name Scott Frost and Nebraska and Tennessee for I don't know how many weeks now. We'll respond to Joel Klatt's thoughts on where Frost should go, where he could go. That's next on Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, thanks to Bill Moose and Phil Steele. Gary Barnett, Jerry DiNardo, former Buff 1-2 punch. Next hour, their thoughts on Nebraska, thoughts for you. You want to chime in, give us a shout, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Couple of thoughts on things floating out there. One, on Bill Moose and him being comfortable as a decision maker, whether to extend or to look elsewhere. He'll listen. He'll have his wheels turning, because they're always turning, and he'll make a decision one way or the other. And the thing that may be a reality is how the rest of this season plays out. It may be a decision he's forced to make. If it doesn't get rectified, if there's not better performance, if there's not better effort, if there's not better results, and if the mood doesn't change. I mean, all those things have to happen for the team to win Saturday night, and then win again, and then win again, and put a streak together. And then get a chance to prove it wasn't just getting hot, that you're going to shift, you're going to be better, you're going to be competitive. And so Bill Moose is going to evaluate things and go from there. I don't think, and I think the response from 7-on-7 coaches and, you know, a recruit's, or I should say a player's father, regarding making a change being a mistake. You can think that. You're welcome to your opinion. You may be right. You may be wrong with it. But at this point in time, now it doesn't help. Bill Moose isn't going to listen to you. Nebraska fans may agree or disagree with you, but it's almost like, here's two more threats. Don't touch things. Let it grow. Let it get better. And I appreciate being loyal and having someone's back as a staff and as a head coach. Absolutely. I get that. But going public with that stuff isn't maybe the best form. Hey, got someone on the horn here. They want to know what you think if things don't work out for Mr. Mike. No comment. Thank you for calling. Because all it does right now is the next meeting that's going on in the quarterback room or with the teammates or around campus. Hey, you know what? You know what this quarterback's dad said? Oh, it'd be a big mistake. I mean, it's again, everyone's on a different base here. Fan base, what's going to happen, what needs to happen, what should happen. It's just, it's miserable. What needs to happen is go out there and play ball. Let things shake out. That's what is controllable. And now you have the national media, really the first, I don't know, big name analyst that does play-by-play, come out and give his thoughts via Twitter on Fox College Football. And Joel Klatt has been on the show before, former Buff Colorado Buff quarterback. He is going to be in a great spot for that Ohio State-Penn State game. He's got the call. Now he does a video blog, and his take on this thing is Scott Frost, bar none, is the number one candidate in college football right now. Is that a stretch? Is that hyperbole? Is that accuracy? And yeah, you look at what Frost has done through six games. He's absolutely the guy everybody's talking about. And he put a dollar figure attached to, A, how you get Scott Frost, $5 million. And if Nebraska doesn't want him, someone else will take him. Here's what I'm not sure of, and we won't know till we know. Decision, direction, who's next, who's staying, all of that to play out. And that's the conversation right now. And it's going to keep being the conversation. Even if Nebraska football wins, it's still going to be the conversation. Because there's an evaluation going on, and it's not been a really good year. It's been an awful year. And you're up in arms as a fan base. But with Nebraska and Scott Frost, if you're a Nebraska fan and he says no to you, if he is offered, if it comes to that, how are you going to react? And how's Nebraska going to react to the other candidates that may be out there and these type of candidates that would appease you or give you a chance aren't going to like being second, third, fourth choice? So if things travel down the road of ugly, that's in your athletic director's hands here of not only having to make a change, but getting a yes on that first offer to whoever it is. And when I asked Bill Moose about that list that you have and ADs have, Leach was number one on that list and he got him. He didn't feel like it was a good idea, which I totally agree with or get, about who else was on the list. Well, you got the guy that was top of the list. And if push comes to shove, and that's the situation Nebraska football's in 6 weeks or in 8 weeks or in a year, that's the thing you have to do, is get the guy you want. That's just all there is to it. And you're not going to make everyone happy, so trust your gut and judgment and instincts. And you got a guy in the AD chair that has a history of doing that. We'll take some more calls coming up. Gary Barnett is 15 minutes away. And we'll hear from Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network. Big Ten tailgate's rocking. Let's go to Russ. He's on line one here. Russ, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Good. Hey, I just think that we've kind of seen the bottom of where we're at, and I don't think it really matters how the rest of the year plays out.
Okay.
I like the idea of keeping Riley around some way in the athletic department as a consultant or something. You know, take him down from the head coaching deal and still make him part of the university. I think he could be a big help there. With all his experience, but I think you got to bring Frost in because what's it all about? It's about building this thing back up, and it's about selling tickets and having some hope.
Yeah,
and I think you throw him out there and just imagine what this off season and this summer would be like, and what the energy would be like throughout the summer. And I know there'd be high expectations, but I think it would rejuvenate the fan base. I think. New style of football, and everybody's worried about the recruiting and stuff. And you know what? The recruiting hasn't done anything for us to this point.
Russ, we're up against a break. Hang on for me.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Winding down this first hour, big thanks to Bill Moose, Athletic Director at Nebraska, Phil Steele, Jerry DiNardo next hour, Gary Barnett in 10 minutes. Thanks for your time today on Hail Varsity Radio. Miss any part of the show, can log on hailvarsity.com. The podcast will be up a little bit later, iTunes and the ESPN Lincoln app. I will go back and listen to how loudly I wheeze during the podcast. Tongue-in-cheek, sorta, when I'm working out at Madonna Proactive Fitness and Wellness Goals. They can help you achieve those. And you want to talk top-notch facilities? It's Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln. And Madonna Proactive, they also offer individualized personal training, beginner courses, advanced courses, and a variety of equipment and activities when it comes to swimming. That's my thing. The aqua track is good. Treadmills. Also, different classes for you. Zumba, TRX classes, free weights, that right equipment to get your cardio back. And my goal by... I'm going to say my goal by post-Thanksgiving is a 15-pound loss. That's one of my chins that will be gone. Madonna Proactive is where I go and where I want you to check out. If you haven't visited Madonna Proactive, get down to Proactive today, 56th and Pine Lake, and you sign up for an annual commitment. No, you'll pay nothing till January. That's 3 months for you. Bueno, that is good stuff. How about this? Free consultation, a personal trainer, registered dietitian, and wellness coach. When you join Madonna Proactive, your chance to get caught up with all of the above, and that value is a $175 value. Schedule your tour today, 402-202-0000, madonnaproactive.org. All right, Colton, we are shortly... going to get caught up with Gary Barnett. You rolled in with your Colorado Buffs sweatshirt on. I'm sure they were giving those away on campus visits along with brownies. I need to know, did you make it through all of the baseball game last night?
Well, I watched probably from the fourth inning to about the seventh inning.
It turned it into home run derby. It was great.
And then it got a lot better when I wasn't watching.
So no is the answer. You were working.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry about that. But it was great baseball last night. It's phenomenal.
It's good stuff, yeah. No, but, 8 home runs, 11 innings. I mean, that's what you want out of a World Series.
You need 8. Yeah, he needed some sort of offensive pop. And you got extra innings, and you got Puig up there to try and extend things and fouled things off and finally whiffed. Puig also went nuts on his glove, trying to make a diving catch in fair territory. For as much crap as Puig gets and as big a space cadet as he can be, that guy just loves to win, and his passion's extremely high. So he's shown me something that maybe watching casually I've doubted. How much does he give a damn? Well, he was all over it last night. Great baseball, and I know the Dodger fans out there are a little sad. But let's make this thing one of the classics, 7-game series. I don't know if it'll get there, but you have a chance at it now. Gary Barnett's on the way. Former coach at Colorado, Northwestern, Sports USA, Buff Radio Network. His take on the Nebraska game Saturday. And what type of Nebraska team are you going to see moving forward? That is on the way. Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network. Uncle Jerry in about 40 minutes. And we'll take more of your calls and thoughts. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Hail Varsity Radio continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with the coach, Gary Barnett, with us. Coach, how's your week?
My week is going well. Got a little storm moving in here today, so we'll see what the weather's like. We had miserable weather last week at Washington State.
It looked like it.
Oh, it was just miserable to play in, and fortunately I was in a booth and not standing on the sideline getting wet like I used to. But this is a big game for CU as well, much like what the Cornhuskers are facing.
Coach, when you look at you coming off a bye week and then trying to get your team right after what Ohio State did and then the fourth quarter of the Wisconsin game, your approach to leading these guys, to kind of getting these guys cranked back up to finish out strong, and it starts with Purdue. How did you go into kind of trying to challenge the guys, get their confidence back, but also not maybe coddle them too much?
Well, it's always – that's a fine line. But things like this give you maybe your best opportunities to prove what kind of leader you are. And You know, sometimes you can fail at that, and sometimes you can be successful. But I always felt like I was going to carry myself, and I was going to do everything that I would do if I were 10-0 at this point in time. And I wanted that my coaches to act the same way. I wanted everybody else to act the same way. That you know, we were going to do the right things in practice. We were going to do the right things off outside of practice. And we weren't going to point fingers. We were just out to get better to win the next game. And that's the way I would do it. And you don't really have any other choice. And it's the only, if you worry about all that stuff as a coach, or you lay awake at night, and, you know, it'll kill you in this business. So, you know, you always proclaim to do things a certain way. Now you've got to do it in front of the players, in front of all your fans, in front of the media, in front of everybody that's around your program. And it can't be false. It can't be a bravado. It's got to be the real deal. But you got to go be who you said you are here.
Gary Barnett's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, a thought on the Purdue-Nebraska game and what you kind of see shaking out Saturday night. 5.5 is the number from Vegas. Purdue's favored. Brohm has made Purdue look like kind of the Purdue of old from a just they're tough to deal with. Now, from a talent level standpoint and a statistical standpoint, they're not awesome, but they have had their moments this year with against Wisconsin, against Louisville, against Michigan going into the fourth quarter. The Rutgers game's the other side of that coin. What do you expect on Saturday night in West Lafayette?
You know, you don't really know what to expect. You have to plan for their best shot. But in a game like this, it's more about, if I'm coaching Nebraska, it's more about Nebraska than it is about Purdue. And it's about getting the minds right of the players at Nebraska and making this trip for the right reasons and being ready to play armed with the information that you need, but also with a level of confidence and a level of, you know, these games and teams like this, they need a collective will or a collective resolve, and that's really what you're concerned with. And you've got to cover your fanny as far as coaching goes and get your guys in the right place and show them the film. But this is about Nebraska, not about Purdue in this game.
You had a moment like that where you had a point in the season where, I don't want to say pressure's mounting, but there's doubt, and maybe it's doubt from the fan base. But was there ever a point where, okay, this is an opportunity to prove to my kids I kind of still know what I'm doing? Because is that a reality as well, that sometimes coaches have players lose faith in what they're teaching and the play calling and all that?
Yeah, but you don't win it back in one day. You know, you don't win it back in one game. Yeah, you win it back because you don't lose it too far out. You don't lose it. You haven't lost too many of them, and you haven't lost them over a long period, a long distance. That you can always reel them back in. If you've lost that, then you're probably not going to get them back. And there is a fine line as to how far they get away from you that you can't get them back. But it doesn't mean you don't keep trying. Doesn't mean that you don't put out your best effort. And that's what I was saying earlier. No matter what the situation is, you got to put out your best effort. And if they're too far to rein in, then that's okay. This is the way you are. This way you're going to do business. And by gosh, you're going to do your part. And if they are close enough to rein in, then, you know, you hope that your example and the relationship that you have with them will bring them back into it.
Gary Barnett, a few minutes with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, when you took over at Colorado, and you talked a little bit in the past about just kind of going to a power run game at Northwestern, you ran the West Coast at CU. How diverse was your run game? That was kind of your choice A, wasn't it? You're going to be a run football team first and then go off of play action. Did you spend more time on the run game, less time on the pass game? How did you balance that out to make the offense dual threat?
Oh, I don't know. I think you would, you know, it's about the same.
Okay.
It really is. And, you know, in the run game, we had a lot of variety, but we were we practiced physical. Mm-hmm. You know, with today's protocols for concussions, you know, I don't know that I could. You could practice that way, and that helped us because we were very physical in practice, and people had to change the way they practiced when they played us, and. You know, that's a tough thing to do, and that's part of why I think you don't have as physical of football teams as you used to, because now you got to recruit them tough. You can't get them and make them tough. So it's it's a fine line. But I think we spent about the same amount of time, Chris.
When it comes to recruiting them tough, how did you kind of profile that? I mean, here's a tough guy. What were those traits that said, okay, I'm watching film or I'm watching a kid in person. He may be wanted by the world. He may be kind of our little secret. But what stuck out about a guy being tough?
Oh, you know, you could tell. You could tell if they were a tackler. You know, if they, you can tell on film if they really love the game. And, you know, we got to where in the last – couple of years we recruited guys who were natural tacklers rather than guys that we had to go make into tacklers, and they might be a step slow, but I'm telling you, teaching tackling anymore today is one of the hardest things you can do. And so but the other aspects of as to how tough a guy is, you really can watch a film and tell. You can tell whether or not the guy's staying after it, and whether or not he's, you know, he's re-gearing in the offensive line and going back after a guy, or you can tell defensively if he's just always at the football. You know, after at the end of every play, his number is right there. How he pursues, all that sort of stuff. You can tell a bunch of stuff. You can watch walk away from a film and tell whether a guy is tough or he isn't.
Your thoughts on the Jim McElwain situation down in Gainesville with the death threats and Jimbo Fisher's encounter with a fan that happened last Saturday. You guys, when I mean you guys, coaches hear the praise, but you hear a lot of the negativity, and it is hard to take, I would assume. How did you deal with that? Did you ever have to deal with that? Maybe not as severe as McElwain's situation, but when folks got nasty with you, how'd you deal with it?
Well, I read where Jim wishes he hadn't said that, and I agree. He didn't need to say that. You know, that word could have gotten out without him asking that question, without him putting it out there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that – I can't recall if I ever had a situation with a fan. Sometimes I would – if I heard something, I might say something back to him, but nothing that I was ever ashamed of that I said.
Sure.
But, you know, you got to stand up a little bit for yourself. But at the same time, all that does is show a weakness, and, you know, just they come right after you when you start doing that. So I thought Jim should have held back on that information. And, you know, I didn't see exactly what Jimbo did, but there's a time in which you've got to at least stand up for your football team. You know, I always felt like if I said anything back, I would stand up for my players and not for me necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Coach, a thought here on some of the weekend games. And let's talk Big 12. And how about Iowa State? Were you in on Iowa State? They're 5-2. I know they've had tough and tight losses, but, you know, they're a new team since the win in Norman. TCU goes to Ames. I've been to Ames as a fan. The wind never kept blowing. You've been there as a coach when the wind never quit blowing. And what do you see happening Saturday with this one?
Well, you know, last time they were ranked is when they beat us in 2005.
That was
we had a tornado that night.
Oh, really?
And evacuated the stands, and the wind blew 35 miles an hour. Mason Crosby tried a field goal into it from about 30 yards, and it just knocked it straight down. It was one of the weirdest games I've ever been a part of. That stuff happens to you in Ames, Iowa, but it's also one of, you know, that is a loyal fan base, man, and they're there no matter what. The worst conditions I've ever played in or coached in college football have all been in Ames, Iowa. So look out. Anything can happen. Gary Patterson is the ultimate competitor, though, And he is not, I don't think Gary's going to let that team beat him, but it's going to be a, I think it's going to be a whale of a game. And anything could happen, but I'd be a little bit surprised if Gary Patterson lets that happen to him, that they get beat.
How about NC State, Notre Dame? The Irish took old SC to the woodshed. NC State's really good football team this year. And is this going to be a different Notre Dame team? It seems like Notre Dame the last several years would have a big win and then a letdown the following week. Is this a different team, different Notre Dame squad?
Well, that's what everybody's going to tune in and watch. I like North Carolina State in this game because I just like the way they played all year. I like the way they played at the end of last year. Notre Dame, Notre Dame is good, and I think they could be a playoff team. They got to win this game, I think, to do it. But, I grew up rooting for the team that was playing against Notre Dame rather than for Notre Dame, so I'm going to go with North Carolina State here.
All right. And Michigan State at Northwestern, upset alert?
This is a tough game for the Cats. They did a lot last week to win that game in overtime, and that's a big game they shoot for with Iowa. I don't know. Michigan State's a tough game for them. I got to think Michigan State wins this game.
Penn State, Ohio State, let's spend a couple of minutes here. Game is going to be just off the charts when it comes to implications. You got the revenge angle. You have the JT Barrett angle when it comes to can he wins and plays exceptionally well in about every game, but some of the big games haven't been his best. Flipping it around, Penn State's just on fire offensively. What do you see for this one?
Well, Penn State is on fire. They got a lot of things going for them. That's a hard place to play. And, I just like the energy that Penn State plays with. And they remind me of the team we had at Northwestern when we had to play Penn State at night in a big game. So, either way, good game. Two good coaches going after each other and two good teams. I think I find myself rooting for Penn State in this game.
Okay. Arizona and Washington State. Arizona, you've had a chance to see him a couple weeks ago, and the quarterback's big time. And dangerous game for Wazoo?
It is a dangerous game, but Wazoo's a better team than Arizona. And Wazoo can play defense. Leach is either really leading them or he's getting in the way of this football team. And when he had them doing up-downs on the sidelines last week because they didn't get a first down, I mean, come on. But that's a really good defense. And, Arizona's defense is really suspect. They'll have trouble tackling that guy, but they're good on defense. Washington State is. I think Washington State wins this game.
What was your favorite choice of motivation, maybe during practice, if you needed to get the guy's attention?
Short in practice.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, say you were PO'd. Was the up down the one you went to?
No. I didn't do up downs. Something would have to be really bad for me to do up downs. I don't know what. I don't even recall ever doing that.
No stairs. No running around the goalpost.
No, I didn't do the stairs. I would pretty much just appeal to them as men and
okay.
What do they really want to do here? And I just call them out and held them accountable. If they weren't practicing well, I didn't have any trouble doing that.
All right. Hey, good enough. Gary Barnett with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, last thought here, Buffs and Cal. What do you, you can't predict it, but how are you feeling about it?
It's the Buffs are struggling just from a psyche standpoint. And Cal goes for two last week and loses in overtime. If they don't, I think they probably win that game. But Cal's got a lot of energy. They're playing with a lot of energy and new coach. This is going to be a hard game for Colorado.
Coach, we'll catch up next week. Thanks for a few minutes.
All right, guys. Thanks, Chris.
Gary Barnett, Hail Varsity Radio. His thoughts on Nebraska, Purdue. A little bit of a rundown through the Big Ten. Some of the games of the weekend. Friday forecast is tomorrow. We aren't on location at Miller Time tomorrow, but we'll be at Seacrest Field ahead of Millard South and Lincoln High. I'll have that game. Myself and Jay Moore. Thanks to Gary Barnett. We'll get caught up with Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is Thursday. It's time to find out where Coach Jerry is at. Jerry DiNardo with us on Hail Varsity Radio, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, give us the location. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm on the expressway in a taxi headed to the airport to go to, where are we going this week? Oh, to Columbus. Penn State at Ohio State game.
That's a good one. You need any help? No, I'm kidding. What a ball game. Let's start there. And you've analyzed both teams. You see how well Penn State's playing. They've already got a pretty tough win in Iowa City at night. I know Ohio State's different talent level, but when you look at this thing, what are a couple of factors here for Penn State to get out of Dodge with a win? And what are a couple of factors, in your opinion, for Ohio State to give a little payback?
You know, Chris, I might lump them together. Both are going to have to get the quarterback involved in the run game, you know, which is nothing new for Penn State. I mean, Trace McSorley is usually involved in the run game week in and week out. Ohio State, not so much with JT. They keep him out of harm's way in most games because they don't need him. I think they may need him against the Penn State defense, so I would suspect that JT will be a little bit more involved in the run game this week than he has been. Both defensive lines have the advantage when both offenses get in passing situations. I just think it's a physical mismatch, Penn State's defensive line against Ohio State's offensive line, and the same with Ohio State's defensive line against Penn State's offensive line. I don't know if I said that the same way twice, but I think you get what I mean.
Jerry DiNardo with his Hail Varsity Radio. When you look at JT Barrett, he's been in a number of these big games. Is this a legacy game for him?
Yeah, you know, he hasn't always played his best against the best competition. I went back and studied the Oklahoma game. You know, he wasn't great that night, but he didn't have a lot of help. The offensive line didn't do a good enough job protecting him. I've got a couple clips I'm going to show tomorrow on tailgate where the receivers can't shake coverage. And then there was times when he was inaccurate. So I think it's a combination of things. We know he's improved. The issue is, has he improved against talent like Oklahoma and Penn State? That's the biggest question. I haven't really bought into the fact that he's improved over these past few weeks. I think he has, but I don't know that he's been tested as much.
Flip it over to the Penn State offense, Barkley, and you know, you've seen a lot of football. You've coached a lot of football. How good is he in your eyes when you compare him to some of the greats?
I think he's up in there in the conversation. He's just so versatile. You know, they have been creative with him, but his abilities have allowed them to be creative. You know, there's one thing to draw up a bunch of plays for one position like running back, but it's another thing to be able to execute it. So he just brings wonderful abilities as a receiver, as a returner, as a blocker. He's the complete package. You know, one thing you learned from watching the Penn State-Michigan game, you know, if Ohio State's going to lock up on the wide receivers on the perimeter, you know, can they match up a linebacker with Gesicki and Barkley? You know, I'm not sure they can. So can they play man on the flank and zone with the linebackers? Probably so. And so that might be something we see that we didn't see last week.
What's been the biggest flip in your mind for this Penn State team and Coach Franklin? You've been going back to a year ago when they upset Ohio State. Ohio State had a double-digit lead, and then things all went haywire, special teams-wise, and you have the upset. When Franklin took over to where he's at now, how has he been able to elevate this program to number two in the country?
You know, it's a great question. You know, we're going to talk Saturday about, you know, which coach in the Big Ten East has done great work. Well, it's hard to deny Urban, right? But how about James? 3 years Big Ten championship after taking over a program that had really struggled on a lot of different levels. I would say, to answer your question specifically, probably the work he's done with the offensive line. I think that was the worst part of the team when Bill O'Brien took over, and probably the same when James took over. Deshaun Hamilton coming back this year, I think, not coming back, but having a good year, I think it's been a big plus. But probably the offensive line is the biggest area of improvement. You know, they're not one of the best in the country right now, but I think in the not-too-distant future, we'll be talking about them being in the conversation with the Joe Moore Award, which goes to the best offensive line in the country.
Do you think programs will start looking at Coach Moorhead as a head man?
I don't think there's any question. You know, he has head coaching experience. He was successful at Fordham, which is where he went to school. You know, I think one thing that, you know, maybe we've seen inside because we get to go to all practices, like you know, just the way he's been a good team guy, you know, even though he's gotten all the attention, you know, it's James Franklin's team, and he's just the offensive coordinator. I think that's hard for a guy to do with his background. But to answer your question, I think someone would be crazy not to interview him. Now, hiring him is another thing. You got to make sure he's a fit. But my goodness, I mean, you know, head coaching background, what he's done with that offense, who would think he's not a candidate?
Jerry DiNardo with this Big Ten Network, Hail Varsity Radio, at Jerry DiNardo. Coach, Nebraska and Purdue going to be maybe a wet one, maybe a windy one, maybe a cold one in West Lafayette Saturday night. What do you think of this matchup for Nebraska? What do you think of this for Purdue, both teams trying to kind of change the tone of their season?
Well, I think this is a good matchup for Nebraska. I mean, this is one, you know, this is Northern Illinois to me. This is kind of, regardless of who's been a recent coach at Northern Illinois, regardless of who's been a recent coach at Nebraska, Nebraska should have won that game. And I'm going to say the same thing about Purdue. I mean, I've just watched them. I've just studied them. Nebraska has better players. And so it's a away game, but I don't care. It's on grass. I don't care. It could be wet. I don't care. I think Nebraska should win this game, and I don't think there's any excuses if they don't. I see this different than the Wisconsin and Ohio State game, and maybe some of the Nebraska fans don't. I do. I see this like Northern Illinois. This is another chance to show that although we've rebooted, you know, we still have better players and we have to make it work.
Coach, thought here with the Nebraska defense, and Coach Diaco has been pretty adamant about where his team's at and not sugarcoating and, as he put it, not trying to give you coach speak, but you can speak to this, taking over programs, that it does take some time from a scheme shift. And when you saw Nebraska kind of have an uptick defensively, was that more about the opponents they were playing pre-Wisconsin, pre-Ohio State, or is it something where you look at this defense and say, okay, against a Purdue and against the rest of the schedule, aside from Penn State, the defense should be able to make some progress? Is that reasonable?
Yeah, I think anytime you delve into this kind of question, Chris, it's always both sides of the equation, right? Bob only controls one side of the equation. That's his guys. The other coaches control the other side. That's their offense. So I think the answer is a little bit of both. I think they have improved, and they're used to the scheme more than they were when the season started. Bob's used to more of the players, what they can and what they can't do, and the competition wasn't the same as Wisconsin and Ohio State. So, I think that's true. But I got to tell you, Purdue's offense isn't any good right now. And if they look good against Nebraska's defense, that's the problem for Nebraska's defense. It's not going to be for Purdue. Now, I do think Bob's, it's a conservative scheme and all that, and there'll be some trick plays, and they might get put out of position at a certain time. I think Jeff Brown's a really good play caller. But at the end of the day, Nebraska, you know, I don't know that Purdue has scored a touchdown in the last 11 quarters or some crazy stat. Mm-hmm. Sure, you know it, and I don't. But, you know, this is a game Nebraska should win. I think that's the long and the short of it.
Last thought here on Purdue-Nebraska. Defensively, Purdue's forced 15 turnovers. They're pretty aggressive. Can they cause some problems against Nebraska's offensive line when they get exotic?
They can. They'll pressure you. You know, gap schemes, you know, are inherent to the West Coast offense. And when you use gap schemes, it's usually when you're playing a pressure run defense, and that's what they do. So they have, they being Nebraska, has everything in their toolbox to out-scheme Purdue. And, you know, I don't know that the matchup is as favorable as the defensive matchup against Purdue's offense. Tanner Lee has improved. I think that's one of the bright spots in offense. But they certainly have the toolbox to do it because the West Coast offense is built for defenses that do just what Purdue does. There's going to be some bad plays, but there'll be some big run plays because they'll void a gap or they'll get crushed down, or they'll buff the coverage or have a good matchup with man coverage.
Michigan State's at Northwestern, pretty dangerous road trip for Sparty. That said, Northwestern's feeling good after the rivalry win against Iowa. What kind of piques your interest in this ball game?
Coin flip game. Michigan State did not throw the ball at all on 1st and 10 in the first quarter against Indiana. They threw it once on 1st and 10 in the second quarter, and that was an incompletion. And then they started opening it up a little bit more the second half on 1st and 10 run-pass ratio. I think they'll start the game out opening it up a little bit more run-pass ratio on 1st and 10. I think they went a little conservative against Indiana. I'd say Indiana's defense and Northwestern defense is pretty similar. I think if Michigan State is as conservative as they were the first half of the Indiana game, they keep Northwestern in the game. I shouldn't say keep Northwestern in the game. I think it's going to be a coin flip either way, whether they both play very well or very average or very poorly. I think this is a matchup game.
Last thought here is Bill Moose is going to be at the game for Nebraska and evaluating. Coach, when you've had new athletic directors, from a communication standpoint, is it what's par for the course here? A meeting once a week from a progress standpoint? Do you talk at the end of the year? I mean, what's common in your experience from an AD to a coach when it comes to communication in these final five games that you're evaluating?
I think the most common thing is, hey, I'm just here to help. Let me know what I can do. I'm just going to observe. Don't believe everything you're going to hear. There's been no decision made. And then from there, it could go from passive aggressive where, you've made a decision that you want to make a move. You're just waiting for the right time to, let's see. In Mike's case, let's see what it looks like. Purdue, Northwestern, and Minnesota. Those are three matchup games. Let's not rush the judgment. My experience is you never really know what they're thinking. Unless it's the guy that hired you, you never know what they're thinking. You don't know if they're rooting for you, if they believe in your plan. It's just, we talked about this today on Big Ten and Beyond, and, Les Miles, who was with me today, said it best. Unless the president, the AD, and the head coach are on the same page, it's hard to get this done. And in my opinion, it's hard to get this done if the AD didn't hire the coach. And so it's the world we live in. Not a pretty world.
Jerry DiNardo, coach, safe travels. Thanks for giving us a few minutes.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Good stuff. Good insight from Jerry DiNardo. We'll talk about offensive balance and how about getting off to a good start offensively for Nebraska football? That's next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Oh, it's been a week. I need to relax, unwind. And Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. Deb, the spa lady, can find that perfect spa for me and find it for you. Deb, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I know that this cold weather is fast approaching, so it's going to be perfect hot tub weather here in a matter of hours, I think. And hopefully you were one of the smart ones who took advantage of special deals at the fair, and we got your spa delivered. If you haven't done that yet, we have spas in stock ready for delivery. Our guys can deliver, and we do, rain, sleet, snow, shine. We deliver anytime. So come in, check out what we have, and we do have everything. And we'll get one picked out and delivered in your backyard.
Now, Deb, you just got back from Italy. Did you leave, you saw the Pope. Did you leave him a brochure?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
He did say that since he blessed us, since we were there, that all of our family and friends back home were also blessed. So I'm thinking that would be customers, too.
Okay, well, see, there you go. All taken care of. But, I mean, yeah, you have one that I'm sure he would have liked.
Oh, I know.
Some Notre Dame colors or something?
Well, yeah, it would have fit in the back of the Pope Mobile.
Yeah.
I've got little ones.
Little two-seater? That's good. All right. I like it. Yeah. It's small enough to fit in the Pope Mobile or big enough for the Cardinals, right? I mean, come on.
For the whole Vatican. I think we've got everything. I really do.
There we go. Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, a location in Omaha, spasonline.com. And before we say goodbye, tell me about the trip. How was it? You got to go because you've been so awesome, so long selling spas.
That's right. We got to go because we were one of the top dealers for one of the brands that we sell. Mm-hmm. So it was a dream come true. It really was. It almost seems like a dream still, but it was a wonderful time, and we got to see so many great things, and it was great. It was good to be home, but it was sure fun when we were there.
Well, congrats to you, Deb. That's awesome. And next time you head over there, we'll pick one out for him. All right.
Okay. Sounds like
take
a
care.
Plan.
Deb, take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. There she is, Deb the Spa Lady. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, spasonline.com. And one, you know, a spa for the Pope Mobile. Yeah? Well played. Okay, let's spend a little bit of time. Great write-up by Cody Nagel of Hale Varsity. Balancing the Husker offense might require balancing the score first. Think about when Nebraska's jumped out to a 7-0 lead. This year. When's it happen? Illinois? When else? Didn't happen against Rutgers. Didn't happen against Wisconsin. They may have jumped out to a 7-0 lead against Arkansas State. But and we know they didn't jump out to a lead against Oregon. So think about the drives that have happened and what's happened. Get inside the red zone, not recently, but turnover. I mean, we're talking 10 to 14 point swings. And as much as you hear about balancing the offense, think about kind of serving notice to a defense where from the 20 to the 20, it's looked good. It's looked really good a handful of times. Running the football with Bryant. Some play action. You're getting chunk plays. You're driving down the field against Wisconsin, for God's sake. You're on the move. You're gashing them. But Nebraska has been behind 62% of the time this season. That's a sweet percentage from Cody Nagel. I mean, the majority of the time they've been on offense, they've been behind. Can you even try and establish a run game? And we're not talking 3 to 7 points. They've been down double digits in a majority of their losses. Northern Illinois, it was 14-0 on two pick sixes. You're down a 10 spot to Wisconsin. It was 21-0. Carry the one. It's 14-0 to Oregon, not 21-0. So you have not given your offense a chance, either because of turnovers. You've not given your offense a chance to be ahead of things where you can set up the run game, if that's what you desire, because you've been down. And you don't totally abandon the run game, but you're less likely to stick with it because you're down a truckload. So that'd be pretty cool Saturday night if Nebraska gets out to a lead, if you're a big Red fan, where you have some momentum, you're creating momentum, you have some success, you score, and then you can either move on to part B of the game plan or keep going back to A if it's working. But for 62% of the time this year, you've been in react and recover mode. That is stifling. Other notes in this story from Cody Nagel. Nebraska's rushing yards per carry, about a yard behind the national average. Is that because they're not good at running the ball? Is that because they're trailing, so they're throwing the football? Is it because they don't emphasize the run game? I mean, these are all questions you can throw out there. But when push comes to shove and there's a demand for balance, it's hard to be balanced when you're trailing. Now, here's a simple answer. Don't trail. Get a stop defensively. Finish off a drive offensively. And the game within the game on Saturday night will be who is the least awful on third down. Purdue doesn't convert them. Nebraska doesn't stop you from converting them. That's it. Offensively, Purdue is 11th in the conference at rushing defense. They're around there or worse in offense. This is something you get in and get out and win 27-10 or something like that. We'll have Friday forecast thoughts tomorrow. Great show today. Great because of who came on. Jerry DiNardo, Phil Steele, Gary Barnett. We started things off with Bill Moose. A lot of fun today. We'll take a quick time out. Be back for some final thoughts. Colton will get out his crystal ball for Baltimore, Miami tonight. We'll give Colton some other ideas for future tattoos. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, let's get you the lowdown here before Nebraska heads to Seabass Country. Practice thoughts. Luke Gifford, Audi 5000. Farmer will start at right guard, and be sure to follow Derek Peterson at Dr. PD 15 on Hail Varsity Radio. Or how about I just stop and say, how about follow Derek Peterson on Twitter, as Dr. PD said in on Hail Varsity Radio at Dr. PD 15. And you are thin as paper at outside linebacker. Tyron Ferguson going to be out, a foot issue. Dedrick Young cleared to play, but he's practicing with the cast. David Neville is out, Farmer at guard. Gifford out with a hip injury. And Trey Bryan had successful surgery. All this gold from Derek Peterson. So you are at this situation where you've got Hymus at right tackle. Farniok is been looked at guard with one hand. So they're going to keep going with Farmer. Farniok seems to reason to be your backup right tackle with no Neville. And an outside linebacker, you are down Gifford, you are down Ferguson, and all you have is Newbie. Young will try and go, it sounds like, at the inside spot, but when Riley said Monday that they had a plate misplacement, I did the old stop and shiver and like nails on a chalkboard thinking about a plate. And I know that's pretty common. You get a plate put in, but doesn't heal real well. And then when there's the oops with that, I don't know. Let's check in with 80s action star Colton Stone, producer extraordinaire, Hail Varsity. So are you you fired up for Thursday night football?
I mean, this whole year has been halfway decent Thursday football. Usually it's not great. Mm-hmm. And I think the games so
this
far
one
this
sucks
year.
Tonight.
But this one's kind of watch if you want to. Watch if you have to, I guess.
I'm just going to check in tomorrow morning with Landry and see how he did fantasy-wise. We'll let you talk more, Colton, as soon as you answer the phone. Gifford being out is brutal. That isn't good. You hope Newbie can have the best game of his season. Now, you're not going up against an offense that does much. this thing shouldn't be an issue for Nebraska. Now, Purdue will run blitz you. Purdue will come after your quarterback. I get all that. But this is where you line up and just punch them in the face. Into face. We'll see. We'll see if it happens. Tomorrow, we are going to be at Seacrest. All of a broadcast at 7, Lincoln High, Millard South. Jay Moore, myself, getting ready for high school football playoffs. We'll have the, it'll be an impromptu road show for Hail Varsity. As we'll be doing our show from Seacrest for high school playoff action. Ready for that? You look disgruntled, Colton. What happened?
Nothing bad happened.
No, I mean, stage fright?
No, he's going to call again.
Okay.
He'll call tomorrow.
Okay, wonderful. No worries. Enjoy your Thursday. Don't get blown away. Bundle up. Turn your sprinklers off. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity.